This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Hello, and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women serving in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to sit around the table with you and talk about the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. Listen in as we confront each topic biblically and practically. Today, I'm with Kelly Bell and Rosemary Cady.
Hey, everybody.
Hi there.
And we want to have a conversation today about comparisons in ministry. We want to talk about whether they are beneficial or harmful. And so comparison in the dictionary is a consideration or estimate of the similarities or dissimilarities between two things or people. Another way of saying it is a measure or a note, to note the similarities or dissimilarities between two things. So why have this conversation?
Oh, gosh.
I think we all struggle with this. It just seems like a part of being human is that we look at one another, don't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know with something interesting that came out in May of this year, that the Surgeon General issued a health advisory about social media usage for adolescents. And I have adolescents in my home, and it really catches my attention for their well-being and the things that affect them. And I'm watching my little people grow up in a new world with social media. And I'm watching people around me be deeply affected by looking at everyone else's lives on social media, not just social media, but we're talking about just we look at each other as we are pastors' wives all mm-hmm. here. We look at other pastors' wives. And this is just human nature, I think, mm-hmm. to look around. And I think we do need a lot of instruction on this and how to go about this in a helpful way or a healthy way. And how Brenda said that maybe this could be beneficial. Yeah. And we want to be aware of how it can be a danger to us.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's both good and bad. Perspective and our heart attitude about why we're doing it. And, you know, I want to say, I know social media has made it worse, but I think it's always been a problem because it's in our heart. You know what I mean? To mm-hmm. want to please men. I mean, Paul talks about that, please men and not please God. Like, it's a thing. And there's so many examples in scripture of the destruction of when people compare to one another and stuff. So I don't think it's a new problem. Social media has definitely increase that, but it is a problem, and there is good, but it's a big trap. And you can even start out where it's beneficial and then move towards your flesh in it. So it's a pretty big challenge, I think.
Yeah. It could become harmful in so many ways. But if you think about it, we spend our lives comparing. Rosemary, mm-hmm. you mentioned social media, but I mean, think about ways we compare ourselves just in the general population, you know, our income brackets, our mm-hmm. educational levels, mm-hmm. appearance.
Our children.
Yeah. And I think we have like this constant impulse to self-evaluate. And we self-evaluate ourselves, and then we also like stack ourselves up to others. You know, yeah. What am I doing in my education? And what does my income look like compared to others?
Yeah.
What does my appearance look like compared to others?
My portfolio, my...
Any category. But I was also, you know, just thinking about it in ministry. Yeah. And what are some of... I was thinking through some of the ways that we compare each other in ministry, and it's like, you know, numbers, you know, that's one way churches and pastors and leaders compare mm-hmm. themselves in ministry, church sizes, you know, church culture, where are you doing ministry? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Even educational level in churches becomes like a big issue of comparison. I think about a social media or platform following. Like even social media like seeps its way into the church. Like, well, how big's your platform? You know, you want to go on Instagram. Well, how many followers do they have?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just all these different places, status, position. I think a lot of times in the church, like position plays a role in comparison, spiritual gifts.
I was going to interject that one personally within the church. Wow, look what they can do. What I should be able to do that, and wanting a gift you don't have, which causes issues there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at even just musicians, you know what I mean? Like comparing themselves to the other musicians, how well our kids are doing.
Yeah.
Think about that one. Yeah. Like just as moms in ministry, you know, you talk about, I'm sure you've had this experience too, Rosemary, with people just like, you know, wanting to know, like, well, what are your kids doing? And
yeah,
you know, yeah, all of that. And then Bible knowledge. That was another one I thought about.
Yeah.
Like how well do people know the Bible? And we can get kind of caught up on like our knowledge and, you know,
even like pride. How long you've been saved. I mean,
how long have you been saved?
Not a competition.
I bet we can compare anything.
Yeah. I don't think that
anything.
And especially if you have a tendency to be a perfectionist, that really takes you down a road, right? Because then you think you're doing everything right. And then you find someone who's doing something different or better. And oh my gosh, that's better. And then you got to do that. And so it just infiltrates,
you can be all of them.
Yeah, it infiltrates every part of our lives, which is again why we have to have our hearts right and seeking the Lord and not on men. And it's a tough thing.
Yeah. Keeps us distracted. Go ahead, Rosemary.
Yeah. And you know what we value, what's important to us will definitely affect the things that we're looking at and the things that we're comparing about one another.
Yeah.
You know, just it's so in our Bibles, right?
Yeah.
To talk about the heart that matters, and you know, physical body is of little value. It's of some value, but really, what's important is the spiritual side. And you know, we can read all of that, but we really have to train ourselves to think like that and to truly believe those things. Because if we just run by how we feel, we're going to get lost in all of this.
Well, I think too, always reminding ourselves when you catch yourself doing it, you know, that you pray for the Holy Spirit to help you be sensitive to when you do that. When you catch yourself, reminding yourself, we are all created in God's image. We're created uniquely with our own, and we all have a purpose and a plan for our lives. Mine's different than yours, and yours is different than mine. He's given us gifts to fulfill the purpose and reason, you know, what he's called us to do. And to, when I say stay in our lane in that sense, and not, well, I want her gift because it's looks better or whatever, but God's created me to be different. And he's put you in a church that he's going to use your gifts and talents there. Right. And so to remind ourselves of that all the time, I think is important. Yeah.
We need to talk to ourselves and tell ourselves what's true and what's good from the Bible, because we have these tendencies in our flesh that we do want to look around and we do want to compare.
Yeah. That's a great scripture, Philippians 4:8, you know, just whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's pure, think on these things. That's a rough paraphrase, but
that's a great scripture. I thought of a quote on my running calendar, which is ridiculous compared to scripture, but I think it reminds us, because we start looking around, if you're thinking of the running and they're running faster or whatever, and on this running calendar I have, it says, don't compare yourself with any runners. We all have different starts. And it's true. We don't know where anybody started. We don't know anything about their race, yet we're still comparing or trying to beat them or whatever. And that's just not how it works. And so
we all run our own race, don't we?
We all run our own race. And, you know, James 3:16 says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And so when we allow those seeds of jealousy and envy, it just goes bad. So I don't know if we want to talk about the beneficial part or the non-beneficial.
I was just
part first.
Go ahead.
I wanted to share a verse, you know, just thinking of how much this is human nature. What's so interesting is that, you know, with what the quote I read and just talking about what the Surgeon General said, it's like the world is starting to catch up to what the Bible has always said about looking around and comparing yourself. Now the Surgeon General and the world is like, wait, this is bad.
Yeah.
And
this
so
is a problem.
This is not going well.
Yeah.
And so 1 Corinthians, we have a lot of scripture, I know, but 1 Corinthians 3 strikes me. It says in verse 1, so brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but instead as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I'll skip ahead. It says, for you are still influenced by the flesh, for since there is still jealousy and dissension among you, are you not influenced by the flesh and behaving like unregenerate people? And when someone says, I am with Paul or I am with Apollos, are you not merely human? What is Apollos really? Or what is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe in each of us in the ministry that the Lord gave us. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he goes on to break down the ministries that they all, the parts that they had to all play in each other's lives.
That's great.
I love that because this is a theme for all time. The Bible speaks to all time. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, we have a lot of scripture I know that we're going to share, but the Bible addresses this, not to look around and realize we all have different parts to play.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think, you know, thinking of benefits and being harmful, I think the Bible's just chocked filled with both. You think about, you know, Sarah and Hagar way back in the beginning of time and Sarah, just the jealousy that rose up in her and wanting to send Hagar away and wanting to send her away and even making fun of her kid.
You know what I mean? Oh, my.
And so
I think we have a bunch of examples of bad ones.
Yeah, we have a lot of harmful examples. And I think when people think of comparisons, we will get to the benefits. But share some Bible examples of how it's harmful.
Well, I have two lists. I'm going to throw out some names, but I had Cain and Abel, where the jealousy ate one of them up. So we see what happens there. Jacob and Esau. The two I wanted to just kind of briefly look at was Leah and Rachel from Genesis 29 and 30. They both wanted to be loved. They both wanted his affection. The way they did it was crazy. And here, now sleep with my maid. You sleep with my maid. Let me buy your mandrake. Like the whole, and it was because they wanted to belong. They wanted his love. And you see this jealousy and envy, what it did. And then I thought also of Saul and David. Saul was so jealous of David. As David grew in recognition and, oh, he's got the, you know, more people and everything else in 1 Samuel 15 through 31, he constantly compared himself to David and soon began to feel threatened. And we know the end of that story and what can happen. And those things can happen to all of us if we allow those seeds to stay there. And I did.
He didn't need social media.
No, that's what I mean. It's not a new problem, but I had, I'm just going to throw a few things out. How it can become toxic, I guess, in our lives. I had, it can build insecurities. It can create false sense of accomplishments, encourage walking in the flesh, creating jealousy, envy, strife, self-pity. It can create sadness, anxiety, which we see from the social media, and frustration. It can give us a wrong motive for serving. We end up pleasing men and not God. It can rob us as we compare of our joy, and our peace can lead to distorted perspectives on people and situations and circumstances, mm-hmm. can lead to judgment and criticism of others or feelings of inferiority or support, superiority, discontentment. I mean, the list goes on. And I look for one good example. I know we're going to talk about that, of John the Baptist in John chapter 3 when he was Jesus was baptizing, and I felt like they were trying to stir up John to get him mad, you know, that, hey, look, he's baptizing and you should have him here. And he says his famous, he must increase and I must decrease. He never wanted to compare himself with Christ. And so I thought that was one good example of a human in scripture who didn't allow that to take root in his heart. So sorry, that was a little like a rampage there. Sorry.
I thought of just some things, because I think when we are comparing ourselves, and I think as women, we are very well aware of this comparison game. We torture ourselves with it quite often. And it does, like you said, like it'll make us sad, it'll make us insecure, all the things that you mentioned. But just kind of remembering some scriptures, I think that would be helpful. Even memorizing them, but Galatians 1:10, it says, obviously I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Amen. So just realizing, like you said, Rosemary, you know, the truth of God's word sets us on that path. And the path is, I am a servant of Christ.
Yes,
and so better to spend my time thinking about what does he want me to do? How am I in the center of his will? And I'm not doing this to please people, because you're never going to please Mm-mm. everyone. Mm-mm. Galatians 6:4, it says, pay careful attention to your own mm-hmm. work.
I have that
for then too. You will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourselves to anyone else. And I just love it. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval.
Yes.
Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And so
I
those
love that one.
Are
yeah.
the important things, right?
Yes. That's yeah. good.
I want to say something too about that. I wrote down this all the same verses, but
me too.
That,
me too. I was that, like, yes.
Yeah. That 2 Timothy 2:15 verse, I love that because it makes it individual. Do your best.
Yeah.
You know, some translations might say, do your best to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
And it's like individual. It's not, you know, do it just like Kelly over there in California or Brenda. It's saying do your best
yeah.
for yeah. the Lord. And I love that.
Yeah. I think
it's
too,
not like be 100% or right. be, you know, do
I think,
your best.
I think too, one of the answers, I guess, to about, you know, how Paul talks about having the mind of Christ. Christ's mind is so not that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So as we continue to put our eyes on him, the author and finisher of our faith, and seek him in that and ask for our mind to be transformed and conformed into the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the only answer to this.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think it distracts us too. Like if you're comparing all the time, then
yeah.
how can you be about the good work? Like if, yeah. if you could see the enemy in it, you know what I mean? It's like the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if he can get our minds focused on comparing, focused us on us looking at others, focused on self-evaluating ourselves, like we're not, you know, worthy or we're not good enough or we're not, that's us all time that the enemy steals away
yeah.
when we could be spending more time on just seeing what God wants us to do. And I love Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as we see the day approaching. I love that word provoke, because it's almost like, you know, in a good sense, we could compare to each other and be like, oh, hey, Kelly, you know, I'm doing this. And You kind of feel like a provoking, like a little
yeah.
bit of a nudge, like,
right.
you know, and then you'll say, hey, we're going and we're doing this. And that inspires us.
Right.
It
mm-hmm.
provokes us to want to do those things that are like, hey, we see fruit over here.
Yeah.
Like, could we maybe do that
yeah,
here?
I wonder what it would look like for us to do it.
Right. And it can be like, there can be real inspiration in
yeah.
a good comparison, like, well, what are they doing? How are they doing it? Nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And yeah, when someone says, do you mind if I copy that?
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm sure I copied it.
Right?
yeah.
I think comparison, what you're saying, enables growth too. Like if we do it in the right way, the inspiring our heart and mind is right. It enables growth, inspires, motivates us, shows us how maybe we can improve. Perhaps we've gotten a little lazy in something and it's like, oh, you know, that's such a great idea. We can become more effective, helps us, you know, I don't know, it challenges us, resets our compass sometimes. I think if we can have our heart right, like we said, when we do it, help us to practice all the one another's. I kept thinking about what you said from Hebrews about provoking one another to good works. I just think a lot lately about, I'm writing a study on the one another's. And if we're focusing on those, then our heart would be okay. We would look at that as an inspiring and all that. So,
and you know, just being spurred on is never a bad thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
It's good for us
yeah.
to, in a healthy way, look around and say, what is possible?
Yeah.
What are the possibilities out there? And sometimes we could get ideas even from each other and say, wow, we could try that. Or, you know, just I think being spurred on, sometimes we need that because
yeah.
we get caught up with
mm-hmm.
what we usually do and
yeah.
our routines, and being spurred on and encouraged by what other people do
yeah.
is a
yeah.
good thing.
And be happy for them instead of comparing.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. Right.
Well, and I think that can challenge us because the tendency is to go, oh, they're doing that. And then boom, the jealousy kicks in or the envy kicks in. But instead of holding that and letting it cause a root of bitterness or make me feel bad about myself, I could turn that around and go, wait a minute. I could do that, or we could do that, or, and let's rejoice and like, maybe someone's going to do it even better than we did it. And yeah. how praise the Lord for that. If you could do something and you're like doing it better, then it's like, well, let me steal that.
Yeah. They say that's the biggest compliment. Somehow right. it doesn't always feel like that, but you,
it's fantastic.
Definitely true. Yeah.
We're all on the same team. I think yeah. that's yes. the important part
that's
is we're not competing.
Point.
Right.
Right. Right.
With all, again, different gifts and talents and purposes.
Yeah. And you know, on social media, we see what Greg Laurie's doing. I'm wondering, you know, when's it my turn to make movies or go to the White House, right?
I'm waiting for my invite any day.
It's yeah, where's mine?
I'll invite you when I get it.
Thank you. Okay. I'll hold your bag.
All right.
Usually God makes me do the stuff that I'm like, that looks like torture. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think with what we see on social media, it's it can affect you very negatively. And mm-hmm. you know, there's this mental health crisis, and our Surgeon General's gotten onto that, giving out a warning about how this is affecting the mental health of adolescents. And so when we talk about social media, I have found some numbers, some stats that said that 88% of women compare themselves to the images they see on social media. And most of them, it affects them unfavorably. And half of them say that they compare themselves and it makes them feel badly about who they are and what they do mm-hmm. and how they look.
That's so true. Because I think it magnifies the social comparison, right? Mm-hmm. Because it presents a really unrealistic image of mm-hmm. what a person's body looks like, because there's all these filters, their relationships, like yeah. you've seen them where it's like you'll see somebody's relationship and you're like, I know them personally. Like,
yeah, yeah. You're like, no,
that's their best yeah. reel, right?
Well, all you yeah. see is your flaws sometimes when you start focusing on your flaws. I remember someone at church, it was a Harvest Festival, and there's like thousands of people there, and someone came up and said something about, oh, I wish I was part of your family, because they had seen some activities we were doing, and they did that activity that we put the nice picture of turned out like, you know, how they do. And I was thinking, what? And it's just, but we're all like that, right? We all look at right. it and say, oh, why isn't my family like that?
Yeah.
Why don't right. my kids look perfect like that? Why don't they get awards like that?
And like what Brenda said, we have to realize that these are the highlights. Their best pictures,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
they make sure they look good before they post
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But again, not a new problem. I mean,
no.
years ago when I struggled with eating disorders, when I was young, a teenager, it was because I was comparing and I didn't feel enough. I was comparing myself to my friends. Twiggy was big back then. I was comparing, you know, you were comparing, I was comparing everything, and that drove me into destruction. And so again, not a new problem.
Right. And so women are a little different than men too. This is interesting. Women are most influenced by, number one, social media. Mm. Secondly, TV and movies. And third, by their significant other. And this affects mostly how they feel about themselves. But men are, number one, affected by their significant other.
Mm.
Before social media.
Mm. We should all be convicted by that.
We're just different. We're yeah. different. And it's okay. If I was we were all men. It's weird. But you know,
I want to be a man.
By Hallmark movies, they make me so happy because they're always happy. But then when you turn it off, you're like, that's not how my life looks. You know, it's just funny. You don't
know,
mean
right?
to be like that, but it's a fleeting thought.
It's
that goes
a
through.
Natural yeah. it's a natural thing, and we need to learn to take those things that we're watching yeah. and looking at and turn it into something positive. Right. So I have a verse here, Proverbs 13:20 says, "The one who associates with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." So it's telling you that you're influenced mm-hmm. by who you're with, what you're looking at, what you're doing, mm-hmm. Even the conversation that goes on around you. And I think that's something that we just need to look at what the Bible says about these things. And really, I think we have a lot that we've said, but we really need to be able to look at social media and use it for what it's meant to be, like a tool, like keeping in touch or informing people like our church is doing this, all come and join, you know. It doesn't have to be all bad.
Yeah.
Like some people just delete it and throw it away. All bad. We can redeem, you know, social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Use it for good.
Yeah, I like what Paul said in Philippians when he was talking, and he talked about that our lives and his life could be a pattern of good works for other people. Mm-hmm. So again, back to Brenda's point, it's beneficial. You see someone that has like a great amount of joy or peace, and you're like, oh, I want that. So our lives, we are supposed to, and then he also says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So there's mm-hmm. some comparison to be able to do that. But at the same time, realizing I'm not Paul, we have separate gifts. It's a pattern. It's not, and patterns you can move mm-hmm. around, just recognizing your own gifts and talents within that pattern. But so, yeah, just that balance.
I have some tips. Mm-hmm. So just to stop the comparison game, maybe you guys can add some to this, but some tips in stopping the comparison game is maybe limiting our time on social media. Oh,
definitely.
Maybe identifying and avoiding triggers. Ooh, for us, when we find a trigger that gets us, maybe trying to, you know, avoid that. And then being able to identify that, remind ourselves that we don't know the whole story. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, my son-in-law is a photographer, so he would take family pictures. And there's like, you know, there's 18 of us now yeah. in my family. And I remember we had this cute family picture and someone said, oh my goodness, how did you get all the little kids to look? It's like, no, my son-in-law took people's heads from other pictures and put it on that one. That's why they're all looking. So I think a big dose of reality is helpful in this. We don't know the whole story. We should focus on our strengths. Mm-hmm. We should practice gratitude. We should acknowledge spiritual growth over the years. Like looking back, like where was I 5 years ago? Where was I 10 years ago? Have I grown? Just remind yourselves that God is doing the work. I think we could embrace, one of them said, embrace competition, which not in a negative way, but like we've been talking about, to spur one another on and provoke one another towards love and good deeds, embracing competition to the right things.
Yeah.
Not all competition is bad. It's just when we get a bad
attitude.
That's
funny. Just to interject really quick, I'm in physical therapy for a knee issue, and one of our pastors is too. He ripped his Achilles too. And so we're both very competitive and we're competing in physical therapy, the amount of weight we can do and what we can do. And it's kind of a joke, but we seriously are. We're
provoking
but it's
each
making
other.
Us both work harder. Yeah. It's not maybe, you know, it's not in a bad way, but it is making us work harder and grow. So it's kind of funny. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, I love it.
Teddy Roosevelt, or President Teddy Roosevelt, said that comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. So true. And I have actually, Brenda, the same list that you have.
You do?
I think I cut you off. There's a few more. You had a few more.
How to stop comparing yourself. Like those triggers. I think we're all so unique with that. Like what might trigger me would be different. And that one about limiting your time, I coupled that with having the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5 of self-control. I think that really is something as a fruit that when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, that having self-control over how you spend your time is also an important thing mm-hmm. because we do just get caught up scrolling. And sometimes I sit there and it's like a half hour goes, mm-hmm. what? I know you, I can't believe it, but something.
Or you
that
go
I,
on to look a biblical word and then you're on Facebook for half an hour.
You're like, how'd I get here?
Yeah.
Oh no. Where's the last half hour?
Just
gone?
One more dopamine hit.
Yeah.
You had some, I cut right? you off, Brenda.
No,
sorry,
go ahead. I'll go after.
I wanted to say too, you know, just being a mom right now with my kids, I go to the playground, I do things like that. And something that's really breaking my heart that I see a lot of moms and dads staring at their phones while their kids are, you know, like my kids go to certain classes, the parents all look at their phones. I want to look at my phone too, but it's such a thing like, oh, I have time. I'm just sitting here. I want to look at my phone. But my daughter's inside, whatever, doing her class and she's looking at my face for approval. Like, look at me, mom. And I look around the room all the time or the playground at how many children are like, mom, look at me. I'm up on top of the play structure or whatever. And the parents are busy on their phone. They don't even see. No. That really breaks my heart. And that's something that when I see that negative thing that I think hurts our children, and I see that and it spurs me on as a mom to say, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to do that right. to my kids. I want to show them that I value what they accomplish and what they do. Mom, look, I hear this constantly all day long. Mom, look over here. Mom, look at this thing. And I do realize that these little people so need us, and right. we shouldn't have our heads down looking at our phone all the right. time.
That's kind of another side to the comparison thing. When you like, you see something like, my mm-hmm. sin doesn't look that bad on me, but then I see it on someone else and I compare it. And I'm like, oh, I need to stop yeah. doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It yeah. looks bad.
It yeah. promotes growth in you. Like, yeah. I don't want to be like that.
Yeah. yeah. Just sorry to say, but yeah.
Just a couple more that I had was that we can see achievements in others as threats, or we can see it as motivation. So mm-hmm. I think when you have that choice to see something as a threat or motivation, take it as a motivation. And then we are to celebrate and rejoice for others doing well. Mm-hmm. If yes. people are doing well, especially in ministry, like, we should be rejoicing. Like, we shouldn't praise have that Lord. Competitive spirit. Like, oh, they're doing this, you know, women's event over here, and they shouldn't be doing that. You know, we're the ones that do that. And it's kind of like, that's silly. You know what I mean? We should rejoice. Like, okay, they're doing it, we're doing it. Praise the Lord. Lots of people are getting, you know, saved, getting whatever, getting
you're
fed,
really,
getting
you're really
growth.
Good at that, Brenda.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You are.
I liked your event. I saw your event this weekend.
Next year, come. But you are very good at that.
No, you're very sweet. Any thoughts, comments?
Just, I think we wrapped it up really well. I liked your list, Brenda, because I had the same things too. Yeah. I think really a key is to be grateful for the things you have and for your life that God did give you, and be able to focus on your strengths, who God made you to be, because we're all very different. We're unique.
Yeah. And I think too, as we put on the mind of Christ, it affects the lens that we're looking at all these things through. You know what I mean? Whether we're looking at ourselves as, you know, or looking at Jesus. And so putting on that mind of Christ daily, and especially when we're struggling to do that, and remembering we're all laboring together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a building. We have a building project going on at church, and every single person is important on what part of the building project they're doing. If one person didn't show up, the next person can't do their deal. And just remembering that church is like a building project, and we're all steps in there, bricks, I guess.
And you know what? We're really having these conversations so that the people who are listening, like, you continue this conversation, and you take this conversation and have it with your teams, and start talking about these things of leadership. And so we're glad that you joined us today, and we're hoping the content is helpful. And I want to tell everybody about something exciting that God's kind of putting together for our team. We are starting some all new leadership cohorts. Woo! Kelly's going to do one, and Rosemary's going to do one. I'll do one.
Fancy word.
Cohort. I know, cohort. Mm-hmm. I had to look it up.
Me too. It's like
people okay. who all like the same thing.
The things. Same mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Something I was like, I'm like kind of scared until I read the definition. Like,
I don't know. We've redefined the word group in 2024. Yeah.
Small groups.
Yeah, cohort. Small groups. Yeah. If you're old, it's a small group. If you're young, it's a cohort. So if you serve in ministry, and you got to check these out, we have these Zoom cohorts, and they exist to provide connection, encouragement, and prayer. And you'll gather together in with a seasoned ministry coach, plus women who serve in the same capacity that you do. So like, if you're an admin, you'll meet with other administrators. If you're a leader, you'll meet with other leaders. So go to whensheleads.org for more information and to register. And best of all, it's free.
Yay.
I know. So also, we want you guys to stay up to date with us. So join us on Facebook page and on Instagram so that you can connect with us and keep up to date on what we're doing, because we're going lots of different places this year.
Do we have the date for next year here?
We do.
October
18th and 19th. Yes. It's always the third weekend.
Okay.
So when we do our When She Leads conference in Murrieta, and it will be at Murrieta Hot Springs.
Yeah, so mark your calendars, everybody.
There's a Colorado one.
Oh, there is.
Colorado, May 3rd and 4th here in Longmont at Whitefield Community Church.
Yeah, super excited. We had a great time in Colorado last time
you
when
prayed
we
for snow. Don't do that again.
Oh, did it snow?
I didn't pray for snow.
Oh, it did snow
that
a little
Friday
bit.
That Friday it did.
It did.
Some people couldn't come.
Yes. Yeah. That was our fault.
That's your fault. I didn't pray for snow.
But listen, we get nothing but sunshine here. I know, it's so sad.
Yeah.
But we were looking forward to a little snow. All right. Aww. See you guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.